CE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. While House lawmakers debate on a revised short-term spending bill to avert a government shutdown tomorrow night, government agencies, including the Pentagon, are preparing for the possibility. Pentagon spokesman Major General Pat Ryder.
Objectively speaking, a lapse in funding will cause serious disruptions across the Defense Department and is still avoidable.
Republicans added a demand by President-elect Trump to lift the debt ceiling for 2 years. That measure likely won't have enough bipartisan support and votes needed to pass. Luigi Mangione waived extradition today at a hearing in Pennsylvania and immediately flown back to New York to face federal charges in the killing of UnitedHealthcare CEO. He's also facing state charges. Thousands of Amazon workers staged a walkout today at facilities across the U.S. over pay and benefits. It comes at the height of the holiday shipping season. Amazon says delivery services were not impacted and called it a protest. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
There's new information in the Madison school shooting. From the names of the victims to a man police say was planning an attack of his own. Madison Bureau Chief Savannah Tomei Olson continues our coverage.
The Dane County Medical Examiner's Office released the names of the two people shot and killed at Abundant Life Christian School. They are 14-year-old Ruby Vergara and 42-year-old Aaron Michelle West. The report says they died of, quote, homicidal firearm-related trauma, end quote. Ruby's family chose to publicly post her obituary. They wrote that she was a big reader and played keyboard in the family band and loved to sing. She has a brother and had a special bond with her pets, cat Ginger and dog Coco. Meanwhile, West was a long-term substitute teacher at Abundant Life Christian School and also has kids who go there. And more new information. Two people shot are still in the hospital fighting for their lives. We've learned the other four who are expected to recover are now home. Meanwhile, a California judge has ordered a man who was allegedly talking to the shooter and planning an attack of his own to surrender his weapons. Court documents show the FBI served a 20-year-old man in Carlsbad, California, with a gun violence restraining order. According to the documents, the man was texting with the shooter and told her he would arm himself with guns and explosives to target a government building. Now, this gun violence restraining order is a civil issue, not a criminal one. We often call these red flag laws. They allow law enforcement to temporarily seize the weapons of someone who's been deemed a threat to themselves or to others. California has red flag laws. Wisconsin does not. And here at home, Madison Police Chief Sean Barnes says the shooter had two handguns, but only used one of them. He says federal authorities are tracing both firearms. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Pack is back in Green Bay. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. After an extra day off, the Packers are back at work, getting ready to host the Saints on Monday Night Football. Linebacker Quay Walker, expected to be out a while with an ankle injury. Rookie linebacker Edrin Cooper, named NFC Defensive Player of the Week after his performance Sunday night in Seattle. Matt LaFleur.
You know, he's a really talented guy. He did a great job. And, I mean, on that screen play where they hit Jackson Smith Jigba out the backfield, that was just an elite play by somebody that has elite athleticism.
NBA, the Bucks in Cleveland tomorrow night against the Cavaliers. College basketball, Marquette with a win in their first Big East game of the season, beating Butler 80-70. Marquette now 10-2, ranked ninth in the nation. Head coach Shaka Smart.
You know, Butler's a dangerous team that's had some good wins on this season. Obviously beat us last year here, and I thought the way our guys handled adversity was way better this time around, and that's what allowed us to win.
That's Marquette Shaka Smart with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Winter weather advisory tonight for an additional 1 to 3 inches of snowfall tapering overnight. Temps in the mid-20s. For tomorrow, a gradual clearing, a high in the upper 20s. Partly sunny for the weekend, high around 20 Saturday, upper 20 Sunday. Right now it's 27.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots.
Woot, woot.
And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart.
heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Chuck from East Troy. Good morning to you, Chuck. You say what?
I have a bone to pick with you. Since my wife discovered Civic Media 2 years ago, we are addicted to Civic Media, and you are one of the ringleaders. So anyway, I just want to thank you. Have a good day.
Hey, Chuck, man, thank you very much for the call. Tell your wife I said thank you, and it's an honor and a privilege.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, it's Friday. That means it is time to recombobulate with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. And we'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is News from the Center, WRCE. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who never leaves the house without wearing a cup, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. A Thursday night edition where we are lighting it up despite the weather. That's right. I don't like winter, but tonight especially, I say suck it, snow. We're going to light it up anyway. Conrad, you ready to do this?
You know, I think so.
Yeah, you can't fake enthusiasm like that. All right. We have a really fun show. It's great to have you here. I know Christmas is getting close. We finally got, it looks like we're going to have a white Christmas. I mean, I don't know what it's like in your part of the state, but here, I would say we haven't gotten quite yet what we thought we were going to get. Would you say that's,
you know, I think accurate? we might not get a white Christmas, actually, because it's supposed to warm up.
When is it supposed to warm up?
I believe next week it's supposed to get up to 40s.
You know, that doesn't even bother me, and I almost hate to say that. I used to not even be able to fathom not having a white Christmas when I was much younger, but I'm okay with that.
I went to Florida for the first time, like, for Christmas 2 years ago.
Okay.
Now, I believe. And I was not bothered at all that there was not a late Christmas because I was warm outside.
That's exactly what it was like. Like, when I lived in L.A., the first year or two, I was like, this is so weird. And then by year three and four, we started being able to take the kids to the park on Christmas Day. I was like, yeah, this isn't so bad. I got really used to it. So, yeah, it was fun. So, Well, I don't know. Maybe we'll have a white Christmas. It's going to be a great Christmas, though, folks. And we're going to help you kick it off here on Civic Media on Tuesday, Christmas Eve at 4 p.m. We are going to broadcast 2 hours before our regular time. And that will segue into nothing but Christmas music and Christmas carols here at Civic Media all the rest of Christmas Eve, starting at 6 p.m. through the next day, all Christmas Day. So that will be fun. And we will help send you off into a wonderful Christmas where you can't hear about politics or current events or even Nightlight on Christmas Day. It's just going to be Christmas music. It'll be a lot of fun. And we have a great show. That show will be extra fun because we have a visit from Jimmy Stewart. Yes, we found him. We tracked him down. He will be joining us from the other side. He passed away several years ago. We still got him.
Wasn't it like 1990 something?
It's been a while. But I think he's itching to get back in the game. And yes, this is radio in Wisconsin, not quite Hollywood and Beverly Hills. But I think he could use a little bit of the limelight. So we're going to talk to Jimmy Stewart. We're going to talk to Santa Claus on Christmas Eve. We're going to talk about our traditions and all that kind of stuff. Luke Mathers has agreed to come on the show and take a quiz, a Christmas Carol Challenge, we're calling it. So we'll do that with Luke. We got a lot of fun stuff planned on Christmas Eve. So, but tonight, this is exciting. It's Thursday. We're making our popcorn pick of the week tonight. And to help us do it at 6:35 is my old pal and podcasting rock star, Jimmy Pardo. You've probably heard of his podcast, Never Not Funny. And if you haven't, you need to check it out. He's hilariously funny and has fans just everywhere. Pardo got in on the early, on the ground floor, really, of podcasting. In fact, I remember when he did it being like, oh, that's an interesting thing to put your... I've been wrong about every iteration of social media or new trends. I missed what was the YouTube thing? No, before it was YouTube, MySpace. I missed out on MySpace. I thought YouTube was stupid. I'm like, who's going to want to watch people's home movies? Wow. But Jimmy had the foresight. He got on, and he has one of the most successful podcasts in the world now. So it'll be fun to have Jimmy here to make the popcorn pick of the week. And then we talk to Kim Shevchik, will be here from Doctors in Recital. They have become sort of semi-regulars. They're so talented. They're going to be in the studio, weather permitting. I think we at least for sure have Kim, and she set us up with a couple of tunes. But if Paul and Chris Piatt can make it too, they will be performing live in the studio. So we will we'll look forward to that at 7:05. And then our old pal Mike Clemens hops on the show to talk. What, Conrad?
Sports.
Yeah. Mike's going to talk sports. We'll ask him about the Packers and Saints matchup. I'm sure he's got a lot of stuff. It's funny, when Mike comes on the show, I have all these questions for him, but usually he just comes on and he starts rolling.
Yeah.
And it's like stuff that's even more current than what I was going to ask him about. So however Mike wants to play it, that's fine with me. He is so much fun to talk to, and he'll be here at 7:35. So there is your show. Tonight, we're going to have a little fun with Christmas carols. And we all have... You know what? Let's just go to the question of the night. Let's roll it.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
Question. Question.
Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What is your least favorite Christmas carol? What is the Christmas carol that when it comes on, it almost takes you out of the Christmas spirit? I know for me, it's We Need a Little Christmas. I can't, there's a franticness to that song. It's almost kind of disingenuous. It's like, I think it's well-intentioned because, yes, we need a little Christmas for sure, but it's the way it's composed. I just don't like the song. And it takes me out of the season, takes me out of the spirit. I don't like it, Conrad. I don't like the song.
Who's that by?
I don't know. Who cares? It's a terrible song.
You know, I thought, didn't Maroon 5 do a Christmas song or something?
Did they? Not a huge fan of Maroon 5 either.
No, because I remember you saying you don't like Maroon 5. I forgot if it was Christmas music or something else.
No. What, do you have one? What's yours? Oh, yeah. It's a beautiful, it's a tenor, right? Or is that a baritone? That's awful. You know,
see,
that makes me want to just put up my dogs playing poker poster and play that song. That's a terrible song, but I don't even consider that a song.
Yeah, no, it's whoever composed it put it to one group of people. And the rest of them, I feel like, hate it, like us.
Like, what do you mean, like dog lovers?
Not just dog lovers, but lovers. Like dogs are their lives.
Yeah, I mean? But that's not even, I get, you know, some people like pets more than other people, and that's fine, but that's still a bad song.
Yeah, no
do
matter
your
what
pet a service and write a good song. And don't have the pet perform it, although that's probably a person. So that's Conrad's. What is that called? Dogs Barking Jingle Bells?
Barking Dogs Jingle Bells.
Yeah, not even a clever title. They couldn't even think of a good title.
Jingle Barks. I mean, come on.
There you go. I like it. We Need a Little Christmas. Just on the Google, it says originally sung by Angela Lansbury. And it was from the 1966 Broadway show MAME. And Angela Lansbury was in that show and performed it. I did not know that. Maybe there is a better version of that song out there, but it's so hyper. I just hate it. But what is your least favorite Christmas carol? What is the song, the Christmas song that comes on that just takes you out of the spirit? Or that you're sick of, or that you never need to hear again? Let me know at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. What is your least favorite Christmas carol? I will be asking all the guests this tonight. I have no idea what Pardo will say. Or Mike Clemens. Or Kim Shevchik and the doctors in a recital. That was funny on the Facebook, on the social, well, the social media blast we do every day here to promote the show. I think Amanda already dealt with this, but she does such a good job putting the social media post together. But our friend Mike Desitel, who has been on the show, said he thought it was called Doctors in Rectal. Read the post, Mike. Mike has a very earthy sense of humor. I know Mike. He's a good guy. But no. If that was what your group was called, I wouldn't even have them on Nightlight because that would be obviously a bad joke or something. Sure? I mean, if I was desperate, maybe. No, that's terrible. So that's your show. It's a fun show tonight, and we had Pete Moore. This is it's interesting. Now that we've been on a year, we've had our own little anniversaries within that time. And last year, on this day, do you remember what happened, Conrad?
Well, it was Jennifer Beals' birthday.
Yes. Yes, 1,000 times yes. Jennifer Beals, the star of Flashdance and many TV shows, a fine actor, went to high school with my buddy Pete Moore at Francis Parker in Chicago. It's kind of one of those lakefront schools, private school. And they, you know, I always remember Pete telling me the story that he kissed Jennifer Beals in a play. Actually, I think it was his wife, Rami, that told that story. And we had Pete on the show last year. I thought, oh, it's Jennifer Beals' birthday. It would be fun to have Pete tell that story on the show. And he did. He took us down memory lane. And that's how desperate we were for guests, you know, like a week into the show. Not that Pete's a bad guest. Pete's a great guest, and he's hilarious. But I have a friend who kissed a movie star before she was a movie star. We put him on the radio to talk about it. And he was very funny. And remember, Pete came on to tell that story about Steve Carell.
Yeah.
They were waiters together at the Hard Rock Cafe in Chicago when they were doing Second City. And then we did something and we lost the file. I couldn't believe that. So we got to have Pete on again. He's so funny. And this is his day. So I hope he rejoices. He did say, I texted him to remind him of that today. And he said he saw her at a little reunion they had somewhere out in L.A. They have a mutual friend. And I don't know. He probably didn't bring up the kiss because it was like, I don't know, Pete's older than me. It could have been like 50 years ago. I have no idea. But that was a funny story. So
that would be a funny opener. Just be like, hey, remember when I kissed you?
Yeah. They were like 15 in a school play. And that's what it was. It's not like he really kissed her. It was a school play. Like he had to kiss her. She had to be kissed. So it was beautiful stuff. When we come back, we are going to read your texts. And they're going to be fun because our question tonight is, what is your least favorite Christmas carol? You know you have one. Share it. Text us. Message us on the app, on the stream. Just get a hold of us because I can already tell I'm going to like reading these texts. So Jimmy Pardo at 6:35. Podcaster extraordinaire will make the popcorn pick of the week. Mike Clemens is here. Kim Shevchik and the doctors in recital. It's a great night here at Nightlight, and it's a great night for you to be here. I always love when you're here. So be part of the show. It's always more fun. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight. We're coming right back on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
After raising the kids, having weddings, and getting them settled, my wife and I prepared to spend our very first Christmas alone. They were all at the in-laws this year, so we watched old videos of them growing up, went to bed early, and Christmas morning my wife said, "Let's never do that again."
We're on our own again this year, but we're actually looking forward to it because we rented a private vacation home in Alexandria, Minnesota. Lakes, shopping, restaurants, and new memories.
Explore your holiday getaway options at exploreAlex.com.
The holidays are here, and it's nearly time to pick a present from our grown-up gift list with our Civic Media statewide text-to-win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of our grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on our grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win in our statewide contest.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. On my YouTube channel, I recently talked to Amanda Clayman, a financial therapist and an all-around excellent person. We talked about how to reduce money anxiety, and her advice was really helpful. She said, unless we have a time to do money, we don't have a time to not do money. Meaning, if we set aside some time to think about and manage our money, it lets our brain stop worrying about money all the time. For example, I have a monthly money meeting with myself, which lowers my money anxiety and helps keep me on top of my finances. If you don't already, set and keep that money meeting with yourself. It'll help your wallet and your peace of mind. Remember what Amanda said, unless you have a time to do money, you don't have a time to not do money. For more everyday money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Oh, was it right? I'd leave to find an answer on the road. I used to be a heart.
So Eric from Lodi, he's in the 608, says, oops, you beat me to MAME. We Need a Little Christmas is a Johnny Mathis hit. I actually kind of like the song. Interesting. I don't doubt Eric. He's very well-read on such things. But, I would probably like hearing Johnny Mathis sing it better than any of the other singers I've heard because I love Johnny Mathis. But I had no idea. Jim from Appleton says, too many to count. My favorite hardly ever gets played, The Carol of the Bells. Nice one, Jim. I don't ever hear that either. I think that, I don't know if it's a rotation, but you're right. Some of them you just don't hear. And the ones that are like, have been like part of pop music, like Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas. Great. Darlene Love has a great one. The name escapes me at the moment, but like, yeah, we don't need to hear some of these. I don't know. They need a new rotation or something. Cause why don't we hear Carol of the Bells? Why don't we hear O Holy Night? Little Drummer Boy. Matt in the 608, he's from Richland Center, says the Chipmunks Christmas song. What a piece of trash. The only good Chipmunk song is the theme to Chippendale's Rescue Rangers. This text cracks me up because Matt is saying the Chipmunks, what a piece of trash, but then counters and says there is a good Chipmunk song, though, and it's the Chippendale's Rescue Rangers. That's very funny to me. Thank you, Matt. Great text. Anna from Madison says, hi, Pete and Conrad. My least favorite Christmas song is Feliz Navidad because it is played too much during the season. That's a great point. However, I do like that song. It's so happy. And it makes me want to go and live in that commercial, the Corona commercial where they light the tree. I don't know. There's something about that song I really like. And Michael Bublé does a good version of that with, it's a duo, and I can't remember the name of the woman he sings it with. But I could see that, Anna. Yeah, they play that a lot. What do you think about that, Conrad? You like that song?
You know, I really do like that song. I think it's, yeah. I think it's a great, every time it comes on, I will sing with it, you know?
That's kind of how I am. For whatever reason, I don't get sick of that song. Now, I don't hear it every day. I don't listen to the radio much where they would play it, but when I'm in a restaurant or something, when it comes on, I do like it. 608 says, Oh, Christmas Tree is the worst. My least favorite, and I'm a millennial. What are the millennial years again?
Let me look.
Go to the Google, because I'm curious now. I want to know how old the 608 is. Oh, Christmas Tree. I could see that. That's been overplayed. Some of these, too, have been played for like 100 years. So they kind of lose out on any kind of freshness or, I don't know.
They're born between early 1980s and the mid-1990s.
Okay.
Yeah.
So she'd be in her 40s, or low 40s maybe. Yeah, well, they play it a lot. I get it. And there are no right or wrong answers, folks. Whatever gets under your skin, I want to hear about it. Mark from the 608 says, it's twisted, I know, but chipmunks roasting on an open fire. That's pretty twisted. I've never heard that, though, I don't think. Chipmunks roasting on an open fire. Eric from Lodi says, I absolutely hate the chipmunk song. It kills the holidays for me. Now that I think of it, if I hear that song, I have to follow it up with We Need a Little Christmas. Coincidence? Interesting. Eric's go-to to pull him out of the dumps because of another song is the song I hate the most. I think that means we're friends. Mark from Prairie du Sac says, it actually makes me smile. That's very funny. Mark has maybe some shallow graves in his backyard. I don't know. Eric from Lodi says, the chipmunk song Haters. Look up Chipmunks Roasting on an Open Fire by Bob Rivers. Going to the stream, Sarah says, Christmas shoes. Ha ha. And you put a little puke emoji. What's the Christmas shoes song? That's a story, right? Or is it the one where they're reading? Not ours. That's not.
I was like, wait, is she talking about the Life Mark?
No, no, no. Our life. We did a parody of a Life Mark movie called The Christmas Shoes, which is pretty cheesy. But I think Christmas Shoes is also, it's like a song, but it's like spoken word poetry, and they play music behind it. I think that's what Sarah is referring to. So let us know what Christmas carol you absolutely hate, or the carol that takes you out of the Christmas spirit. Let us know. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, and we will read your text on the radio. Great when you guys are part of the show. Steve from Florida says, I just listened to the Christmas Shoes song, the most depressing song I have ever heard. I got to give that. Let's see if we can find a snippet of that, because it is. Yeah. I remember it as being very depressing. There's like no cheer whatsoever. Sarah says, this is a song. Okay. Nice. I have to tell you, I've talked about this on the show. You know what? I'm not going to go there. Remember when I was telling you I get these texts for some woman named Yin?
Yeah.
Who was always trying to give her more insurance? They text me once a week. And it's not even, it's like, what? This woman has never responded. So why do they keep texting her? And they're sending it to my phone. I'm tempted. I feel like Yin probably does need more insurance. It says, Yin, are you available? You are eligible to update your health plan for 2025. Call now to review options with a licensed agent. Stop to opt out. First of all, that doesn't work. I've clicked stop because I feel bad for Yin if her own insurance company can't reach her. But maybe they're so annoying and persistent she ditched them and never told them. Yin, you are eligible to update your health plan for 2025. I'm going to do this on the air, Conrad, with you as my witness. Stop, for the love of God. Okay.
I don't think they'll stop because you
they're
said
not
that.
No, they're not going to. There is no God to these people because they keep sending it. It's just awful. Hey, a lot of cool movies open this weekend. Check out, I do the Hollywood Beats, and we're gonna post this on the website. It's so, and they're like not Christmas movies, but there's like good action, good family films. We'll go over that later in the show. All right, Jimmy Pardo is here. Coming up next, folks, after Civic Media's award-winning news team keeps you informed here at Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, we will be back to make our popcorn pick of the week, and a very funny guy will help us do it, and the founder of the Never Not Funny podcast. Check it out if you haven't. Jimmy's coming up next. We've got Mike Clemens later in the show, and Kim Shevchek, and the doctors in recital are here as well. It's a great night here at Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
They counted pennies for what seemed like years. Then the cashier said, son, there's not enough here. He searched his pockets frantically. Then he turned and he looked at me. He said, Mama made Christmas good at our house. Most years she just...
This is News from the Center, WRCE. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The median estimated poverty rate of children ages 5 to 7 in U.S. school districts in 2023 was 13.4%, according to data released by the U.S. Census Bureau. The new data comes from the 2023 Small Area Income and Poverty Estimates, which provide the only single-year income and poverty statistics for the nation's 3,143 counties and 13,137 school districts. In 2023, county-level median household income ranged from $28,579 to $173,655, with a median income of $62,851 for all counties. Median household income increased in 4.1% of counties and decreased in 5.4% of counties from 2022 to 2023. In 2023, the county-level poverty rate ranged from 3.3% to 49.6%, with a median poverty rate of 13.6% for all counties. The poverty rate decreased in 3.8% of counties and increased in 2.6% of counties from 2022 to 2023. The county-level poverty rate for school-aged children ranged from 2.8% to 66.2%, with a median rate of 17.1%. Small area income and poverty estimate statistics are used to allocate funding under Title I of the Elementary and Secondary Education Act. School districts receive Title I funds based on their number of percentage of children from low-income families. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Can you imagine not even having contact info for your parents? That's how Trinity Rodman is rolling these days, saying her father, Dennis Rodman, is only her dad by blood. Trinity, who is a professional soccer player for the Washington Spirit, appeared on the Call Her Daddy podcast and said her father's hard-partying lifestyle as an NBA player was not conducive to him being a good parent. I believe that's true, but he did make a beautiful bride. FX's series The Old Man has two seasons in the books, and that is all, folks. The show about an ex-CIA operative played by Jeff Bridges performed well in its first season and received 2 Emmy nominations. Season 2 received 3 Critics' Choice nominations, but that did not stop FX from pulling the plug. Despite this, it's a pretty good show if you want to check it out. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Winter weather advisory tonight for an additional 1 to 3 inches of snowfall tapering overnight. Temps in the mid-20s. For tomorrow, a gradual clearing, a high in the upper 20s. Partly sunny for the weekend, high around 20 Saturday, upper 20 Sunday. Currently, it's 26.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Cindy from Appleton.
Time Magazine has made the convicted felon the man of the year this year. Shame on them.
Time Magazine base their person of the year on impact and, like, newsmaking. The CEO assassination is pretty much the only news cycle that isn't entirely focused on Donald Trump, and yet it still relates to him because he has no health care policy.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Luke Matheris, you let the dogs out.
I let the dogs out. It was me. After about 15 minutes, I go out there and I'm like, what is this mound? An opossum playing dead in the middle of the yard. So I'm out there kind of hollering, like trying to corral the dogs. And then we finally got Aurora to come in the house, stepped away for a little bit, came back and was gone. But I really hope that it remembers this traumatic experience and never comes back in my yard again.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Luke Mathers stops by with a Friday edition of Tuesday Tangents with Luke and also our final day to win prizes in our Text to Win contest. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
J. Jim from Appleton says, "Aw, Pete and Conrad. It's always a great night on Nightlight." Thank you, Jim. And Judy from Lodi says, "Okay, Chipmunk Christmas song. Annoying for old school and Mariah Carey. All I Want for Christmas. So repetitive and way overplayed." Judy from Lodi. It is. But like Feliz Navidad, it hasn't gotten under my skin yet. But I respect your thoughts, Judy. Thank you for chiming in. You can all answer the question of the night. We've got many more texts to get to, which we will. But right now, ladies and gentlemen, it's Thursday, and that can only mean it's time for our popcorn pick of the week.
It's time for the Nightlight Popcorn Pick of the Week, where we recommend a movie that you'll either enjoy or won't. Here's your host, Pete Schwabba.
All right, this is exciting for me. Joining us now to help us make the popcorn pick of the week, we're going to see what his pick is one of my oldest friends and the creator of the wildly popular podcast, Never Not Funny. He's also an incredibly funny stand-up comic. Jimmy Pardo joins me now on Nightlight. Hey, Jim.
Hello, Peter. How are you?
How's it going?
Good. It's good to see you wearing a shirt out of the Tim Walz collection. What are you doing? What, your listeners know what you have on?
Conrad, what did I say when I walked in tonight?
I just know Jimmy's going to make fun of my shirt.
I'll be disappointed if he doesn't make fun of my shirt. It's cold here, Jim. It's been mild, and I was in a hurry because I came to Green Bay, and I stayed overnight. I just grabbed the first long-sleeve shirt I could find, and I'm if he doesn't make a McLeod joke, I'm going to be thinking he's losing it or something.
I went Tim Walz. I went more topical than McLeod. You know, I love McLeod. I love Dennis Weaver. I'd like to say I love that shirt, but I don't want to lie to my friend. That thing's a nightmare.
You know what, Jim? I'm a little under the weather. It's warm. That's all I could tell you. You're right. I have better shirts, even though I'm not necessarily a shirt guy. This is not my best.
Yeah, you'd have to have better shirts. I mean, every other shirt in the world is better than that thing.
Wait a minute. This is the worst shirt in the world?
I think it is, and I've got one with a swastika on it. Your shirt's worse.
He can make that joke because he's married to a Jewish girl.
Yes, I do not have that. I do not have a shirt with a swastika. I apologize. I tried to go.
Wow. Let's see if we can.
That's how bad your shirt is. It's the worst.
I got it at Ross. It was like $7. It was an impulse buy. I've got darker pants on, so there's a nice. It's earthy up top, and then I got some garden in the bottom. So
I don't know what that means, but I appreciate the garden reference.
I'm not at my best, Jim. That's why I need
you
here.
No, you're under the weather. Are you okay?
No, I'm fine. And I wanna take you on a quick trip down memory lane because this was this came up yesterday. I thought of this when you told me you'd love to do it, but you had a dentist appointment. Our possible dentist appointment. So I remember years ago, I was in your and Danielle's wedding party, which was an incredible honor. And you were one of my best friends. And I was an honor to be a part of it. We roasted you a couple of days before your wedding. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of guys there. And I said, even though, I said, I'm surprised you can make it here because you weren't at a doctor's appointment. You always had a doctor's appointment. So I asked what was wrong with you, brought down the house, Jim. It was maybe the last laugh I got in front of a full room.
Uh-huh.
Now I want to walk that back because I'm A, much more sensitive now, but B, also because of HIPAA laws. I don't need to be saying stuff like that. I don't need to know what is in your medical past, but I'm concerned about your teeth. You had an appointment for the dentist. Is everything okay?
Teeth. I almost called you teeth. Teeth Schwabba. You know, we call you Teeth Schwabba behind your back, right?
I don't have good teeth. That's okay, though.
Oh, I don't know if that's true. I've never noticed you not to have good teeth.
I mean, they work. They're fine. But yeah, you, on the other hand, have one of the best sets of teeth in the business.
People say that
behind your back.
I'm going to tell you something. I've been very proud of my teeth my entire life. I've got a good set of choppers. There's no doubt about that. But in the last month, something's gone awry. Pete, I've had 3 root canals in the last 3 weeks.
What?
Yeah, here's the thing. I had some tooth pain, and we couldn't narrow down which tooth was causing the pain, so they had to basically throw darts, and we finally got it. It took to the third tooth before we got it. The good news is the 2 teeth that it wasn't probably were going to go bad soon as well with some cracks in them and so on. But having some teeth issues, nothing that's not going to slow me down. I can still talk. I can still eat popcorn. I can still eat.
Yeah.
Last night I had some popcorn. I had a hot dog and a popcorn in a movie theater.
Oh, nice, Jim.
And I like snacks. I like eating, and my teeth provide.
Here's my issue. I had a crack. I had a filling. One of the fillings, the top of the tooth came off. They put a cap on it. Yeah. The cap is terrible. It was a terrible job. Nothing feels right in my mouth since I had that. So the other side, same thing happens. I'm like, I'm not fixing this because it's worse. So I've been living with a cracked tooth for a year and it's fine. It feels better than the tooth I had fixed.
Why don't you go to a different dentist? It sounds like your first guy with the cap. Did he put a cap on? What's the cap look like? Does it look like a mortarboard, like your graduation cap? Because that's probably not a good fit. Does it look like a baseball cap? Shouldn't look like that.
No, no, it just looks like a tooth. It looks like a tooth. It's white, but there's like a little wrinkle in it. It's weird. Yeah, maybe.
I'd like to see you go to a different dentist, Pete. I really do. I'd like to see you go to a DMD instead of a DDS. I think that's what you need to do here.
Should I wear this shirt?
I wouldn't wear that shirt ever again. I would use that. I know you said it was very cold there. I would use that for kindling. I would throw that in the fire and get that thing blazing.
It's supposedly flame retardant. I don't think that would even work. That's how bad.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
There's no way to get rid of that shirt. That's like a haunted shirt.
It's a haunted shirt.
You're stuck with that shirt forever. You throw it away. All of a sudden, you go back in your closet. It's hung back up.
Right. I can't get rid of it.
Can't get rid of it.
Jim. All right. I got to be honest. I had, when you first, we were talking about this a little bit earlier on the show. You were one, you got in on the ground level of podcasting.
That's right.
And I said, I missed everything. MySpace I missed, YouTube. I thought that was stupid. Nobody's going to want to watch people's home videos. I was wrong about everything on social media or new technology.
You and me
crushed
both.
It. Yeah, well, not you, because
except for the podcast.
Yeah, you got podcast, and I had my doubts because of the double negative in the title, but it's working for you.
Yeah, the title's a mistake. Even though we're 19 years in, I wish we've gotten with anything else.
Really?
Yeah, Never Not Funny is it lends itself to people going more like Never Funny. You know, that's we get those people, and then they adjust their red hats and move on. But I'm very lucky. Matt Belknap came to me 19 years ago and asked me if I wanted to start a podcast. And I said, yes. So it's while my name is on the show, he's the guy who had the idea, and I'm very, very grateful. It's given me a career. And, here we are, hoping to God, Jason Bateman stops doing podcasting so I can move up the rank.
Oh my gosh. Does that bother you when yes. really famous people start podcasting? It's like not even fair. They've taken all the commercial work and now they're doing podcasts. It's ridiculous.
It all happened during the lockdown, Pete. You know, these famous people couldn't make movies. And so their management went, hey, why don't you try a podcast? And then all of a sudden, rich people, movie stars, are using Zoom or whatever platform to talk to their buddies to do a podcast. And then they realized that they can make a ton of dough out of it. And so when the industry opened back up, they went, well, I could still take an hour every Monday to be on and make millions of dollars doing a podcast. So it does bother me because I did this because I wasn't, I was between jobs.
Right.
This is for me. Jason Bateman, go back to being a movie star.
Yeah. You got enough.
You have it.
Exactly. You got enough on your plate. You don't need to be doing this.
You've got enough. I've got nothing, Bateman. Why take this from me?
Well, you've got nothing.
I'm not upset.
I mean, you're
on the best.
But you've got.
My teeth are falling out of my head. It's a disaster. I can't afford dental because Sean Hayes has to have a podcast. Right? Will Arnett has to talk on Zoom once a week, and I've got chiclets falling out of my skull. I don't know what I'm saying.
Chiclets is good. Piano keys would have worked too. Whatever. Not that your teeth are too big. They're perfect.
They're not perfect. What a weird thing to qualify.
Listen, we're both married. I can say that with no weirdness. You have great teeth, and they're not too big. They're not too small. You've got a nice, you've been dealt a nice.
I got a nice hand. I'm 5'3½" but God gave me good teeth.
Your teeth make you look like you're 5'11".
Boy, oh boy. I'm top of the world. Hey, Pete, speaking of being married and such, do you remember the time? And I know we have to talk about movies in a minute, but
yeah.
Do you remember the time you and I went into Caroline's Comedy Hour in New York? And then on the flight back, you turned to me and said, as your wife, Mary, and my then girlfriend, Jennifer, were picking me up at the airport, you said, hey, let's hug and kiss goodbye when we get to the airport and see how they react. And I said, yeah, let's do that. And then they're there to pick us up. And I turn to you and hug you and kiss you. And you don't remember that was the plan. And you wonder why it's happening.
Like, what's your story, man? What are you doing?
You're like, wait, what's going on, Jim? I mean, it was a nice trip, but what's that? It was your idea.
I can't remember anything, Jim. I, honest to God, you ever get that, someone will come up to you and remind you of something you did, and you have no recollection? Graham Elwood and I went to a movie somewhere in Michigan. We're the only two in the theater. He went up to get snacks, and I remember taking my shirt off and just being bare-chested. He says I took all my clothes off.
No.
I don't remember that.
No, you took your shirt off.
I remember that.
And then what ended up happening is for some reason throughout Michigan, the lore became, hey, Jimmy Pardo went to the movies once and took his shirt off. And I was like, no, that's not me. That's Pete Schwabba.
How did you get roped into that?
I don't know. I think because you and I are friends.
Yeah, probably. He wears better shirts, though. So,
I am today.
Jimmy Pardo is my guest. Check out his podcast, Never Not Funny. It's great. And if you're lucky, you can see him. He doesn't do as much stand-up anymore. But where can people see you, Jim?
You know what, Pete? The only thing I have on the books is my residency at Flappers in Burbank, California. I have nothing on the books for 2025. I've got to change that. I've got to get to Milwaukee.
Yeah.
I had a connection there. That guy's never, I'm mad at you. You somehow blew it for me. I wouldn't mind getting back to Appleton. I've always had great success in Wisconsin, Madison.
Oh, they're all great. Comedy on State is like, I guess it's a hard club to get into. They have such great comics come through there. It is such a well-run club. I can't even get a sniff. I can't get anybody on the show from there. The owners, I'm like, look, I'll give you free. I just want to talk about comedy. They don't need it, you know?
Yeah, they don't. They're doing fine. I was last there before the 2016 election. That's how long it's been since I've been there. And I got a little political on stage, and they didn't care for it.
In Madison. Wow. Okay.
I'm as surprised as you are.
Interesting. So, Jim, all right. So, do you have a favorite snack? Like you said, you went to the movies, you got popcorn and a hot dog. We've been to several films together over the years, but I can't remember. What is your favorite movie snack?
Well, why would you remember that? That seems like something. You just said I can't remember anything. But if you remember my favorite snack, that would be really weird.
But that's the kind of stuff I do remember.
I know.
I remember you saying we were going to see The Rocketeer. And I said, one for the Rocketeer, please. And then you went up behind me and said, one for Oscar, please. The Sylvester Stallone gem. Yeah. And I lost my mind laughing at that. So I don't know why we
laughed so hard at that, but boy, we did. We laughed like idiots.
It was funny.
1 o'clock in the afternoon, sober. But laughed like we were drunk at 2 a.m. Pete, here's the deal. And I told my son, Oliver, 17-year-old Oliver, who, by the way, Pete.
Can't believe
completely
that.
Off topic.
Yeah.
My son did stand-up for the first time last week.
I think I saw that post and I think I clicked heart because that is really cool, Jim.
He did 7 minutes and it was fantastic.
Oh my gosh.
It was really at Flappers in Burbank, California. He went up and he did, dude, it was, if he sent that tape around today, he'd get work. That's how good of a set it was.
Oh my gosh. That's fantastic.
Yeah. I was real proud of him.
So what's he going to do? Is he going to try to get more sets or is he like, all right, I did it?
I think he's going to, you know, maybe go up some more on my shows. I don't see him at the moment anyway. Like, hey, Dad, drive me to the improv. I want to do a set.
Right.
But he could. He's ready. And I say that as a comic, not as a dad. You know what I mean? Like, we know when somebody's got it. The kid's got it.
Here's why I believe you, because you wouldn't do that to your kid. You wouldn't say, you've got it. Go up at other places.
And, no.
You know, I'm dealing with the same thing. I'm like, I wouldn't tell you if I thought you... I would say try this instead or do that. And I wouldn't put my kid through that. No way.
No, you and I have lived this. It's not easy. It's horrible. The heartbreak. And anyway, movie snacks. So, Pete, what I do, and I told Oliver this because it's my go-to sentence that nobody seems to be interested in, but it's finally on topic. I don't care if I just left Morton's Steakhouse and had the biggest steak and potato and vegetable meal. If I then go to the movies 1 minute later, I'm still getting a large popcorn.
Oh, that's so great.
I don't care what I just ate. I could have been an all-you-could-eat buffet. If I'm going to the movies, I'm still getting the large popcorn, layered butter, delicious.
Yeah. So you are already my favorite. I mean, you're my favorite, one of my favorite guests because of who you are, but your enthusiasm towards popcorn, that's incredible. So let's do this. We're going to do a very short break, and then we'll come back and get the popcorn pick of the week. And I might have a couple more questions for Jim, too. And I'm going to do a quick wardrobe change. Conrad, give me your hoodie. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I don't know what I'd do without you, babe. Don't know where I'd be. You're not just another lover. No, you're everything. Every time I'm with you, baby, can't believe it's true. When you lay in my arms, you do the things you do. You can see it in my eyes.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. They produced yacht rock hits that defined an era. It's Ambrosia.
Your biggest part of me.
With special guest John Ford Coley. October 12th at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. Tickets on sale now through Ticketmaster. Soft rock that rocked the yacht. It's Ambrosia and John Ford Coley. October 12th at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. Must be 21 to attend concert.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. New York City Mayor Eric Adams was denied access to over $4 million in matching public funding for his 2025 campaign due to questions over an ongoing federal investigation and accusations of financial mismanagement. The U.S. Department of Justice filed charges against the mayor in September, charging him with taking campaign donations from foreign nationals and businessmen, allegedly using straw donors to make them appear as legitimate donations. He is also accused of doing favors in exchange for luxury travel and attempting to conceal these transactions, according to the DOJ. The New York City Campaign Finance Board ruled December 16th that Mayor Adams' request for $4.5 million in matching funds would be denied. The chair of the board said in a statement, "After thoroughly reviewing all available information, including the details of the indictment of Mayor Adams, the board has determined there is reason to believe the Adams campaign has engaged in conduct detrimental to the matching funds program in violation of law, including the Campaign Finance Act and board rules." New York City's campaign finance system provides an 8-to-1 match for small donations of $250 or less for mayor and $175 for city council. Such small donor financing systems promote transparency, discourage big money, and encourage less affluent candidates to run. We have links to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Get up home.
Welcome back. Our question tonight is, what is your least favorite Christmas carol? What is the song that just completely takes you out of the season and spirit? To me, it's Need a Little Christmas. Conrad, I think, secretly likes The Dogs Barking. But we're reading your text, so let us know what you think, folks, on the stream or on the app or on the old-fashioned text line. All are fine. Jimmy Pardo is here. He is the host of the Never Not Funny podcast. You have to check it out if you haven't. It's fantastic week to week. Jim, that was really impressive. You love popcorn. Even if you love have it. A full stomach, you're still getting popcorn. My wife is like that. It's just it's like a sense reaction or something when you go to the movies, right?
Yes. I feel like an emptiness, like a void if I don't order popcorn or like if I am having dental work and I have to get nachos or a pretzel instead, it just doesn't feel right.
Interesting. Wow, that's fantastic. Popcorn. All right, so that reason alone, Conrad, I think we're ready. We're going to make the popcorn pick of the week. We're going to hear Jimmy's pick, and he has good taste in movies for the most part, except for Oscar, so we're going to go with this. Drum roll, please. Jimmy Pardo, host of the Never Not Funny podcast, what is your popcorn pick of the week?
The Order.
I have not seen... Jim, All right, I'm geeking out here. I went to a wedding in Chicago last week. It's not at my hometown theater. I went to this wedding in Chicago. There's a 20-screen multiplex across from my hotel. I missed it twice. I am desperate to see that movie, and you're saying it's as good as I am imagining it.
I enjoyed my son, the aforementioned Oliver. He and I went to see it just last night, Pete.
Wow.
It was great. Jude Law was terrific, and that Nicholas Hoult, is that how you say his name?
I think so, yeah.
A very tall, handsome, beautiful man. Terrific actor. It's really, really good. It's, it's got, that culty weirdness that I like in a movie. It's got, a little cat and mouse.
Yeah.
It's good. It's really good.
That's fantastic. That's a great pick. I'm excited to see it. It's reviewing well. Audiences like it. Jude Law is great. I like Jude Law, and I like a good heist film. And
it's a good heist film. Yeah. It's my actual review of it as Oliver and I were walking to the car was, I'm gonna call this movie very, very good. I don't know if it crosses over to great, but I'm giving it very, very good. I can be talked into great.
I'll take very, very good any day of the week. I still want to see it. That's fantastic.
Hey, it's a talkie.
It's a. Do you have a favorite snack when you're binge watching TV, Jim? Do you still go popcorn, or in the privacy of your own home, do you change things up?
Boy, I still might go microwave popcorn.
Nice.
You know, if I'm watching a movie at home, yeah, that's my go-to snack. God, oh, I love popcorn. I just love it, and my gut will let you know that too. It's
kind of a good snack. It's kind of healthy in some ways.
They call it nature's broom, don't they, Pete? Yeah.
I hadn't heard that in a while, but yes.
I heard that once. Years ago, and it stuck with me.
I'm going to remind you of a story, and this is
Taco Bell.
What's the Taco Bell story?
Oh, you made fun of me. Some jerk told me once, if you after a show at night at midnight, make sure you eat Taco Bell because it goes right through you. You won't gain weight. Oh, yeah. And so I believed it. I'm eating burritos at 3 in the morning.
I said, I'm watching what I eat. And you said, no, it's Taco Bell. It goes right through you.
I'm an idiot. I don't know what I'm talking.
You doubled down. Yeah. Like, that's not what I was going to say. All right, here's the story. There was a girl. I'm not going to use her real name. She was a comedian. Not that great, but she was kind of down on her luck. We were all hanging out after a show. Let's say her name was Penny. Okay. And she was saying, I just get the feeling I'm really starting to doubt if I'm at all funny. And before she got the word funny out, you said, Penny. It was so Chevy Chase and I had to walk away. I was laughing so hard. I'm like, I don't think she thought you were just being silly, but you kept her going for a while.
I need you, and I'm very serious. You need to text me the name of that person when we're done.
All right.
I need to remember who I said that to.
We'll do that. Okay.
I'm very supportive of the young people. You know that.
You are. What do you have a favorite Christmas movie, Jim?
A favorite Christmas movie? Yeah. Boy, oh boy, that's a great question. Boy, I don't know if I do, Pete. I wish I had this question in advance so I could have asked my wife if I do.
You really got to go to the well that deep for a favorite Christmas movie?
I don't know. What's Love Actually? That's a Christmas movie.
Oh, yeah, that's a Christmas movie. That's a good one.
I like that movie.
Trading Places, It's a Wonderful Life, Christmas Vacation, Home Alone.
I like Christmas Vacation.
Yeah.
Do I have a favorite Christmas movie? I don't know. I don't know if I have a favorite. I don't know if, like, hey, let's sit down and watch that to get me in the mood.
Yeah.
I don't think I do, Pete. I apologize.
I kind of love that you don't, because most people I've asked this whole season, they have it right there.
No.
But I kind of like that you don't really necessarily have one. Last thing for you, buddy. Do you have a Christmas song you never need to hear again?
You know what? I love the song Last Christmas by Wham.
Great song.
I don't like it by anybody else. Yeah. Like, I'm a Taylor Swift fan. I love Taylor Swift. Even her version, I don't want to hear it. I want to hear the Wham version.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Wow, that's great. And I could totally see that. Yeah, I could totally see that. Jim, this is so much fun. Thank you for coming on. Take care of those teeth. And I'll go shirt shopping. We'll forget this ever happened, and we'll move forward.
Happy holidays.
You too, buddy.
See you, pal. Thanks for having me.
Anytime. That's Jimmy Pardo. Check out the Never Not Funny podcast, and let's see if we can get Jimmy in Wisconsin here doing stand-up. He's very funny. That was fun. So is this shirt really that? I had to stave off laughing.
It's hard to look at.
I knew he was going to say that.
It's hard to look at.
Hard to look at? I mean, it's not a great shirt, but it's serviceable.
Now that it's like... Can't even catch on fire with it.
I don't know that, actually. It was all right. The doctors in recital. Do we have the doctors in recital? How are
they? They're here.
Oh, they're all of them?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. They did. These guys are gamers. Doctors in recital coming up next. Then Mike Clemens at 7:35. Talking sports. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Dom Salvia.
Next time, will the Musk-Trump GOP get to a plan C to fund the government before midnight Friday? Also, what impact does the ABC-Disney settlement have on journalism? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Earl Ingram.
Chuck from East Troy. Good morning to you, Chuck. You say what?
I have a bone to pick with you. Since my wife discovered Civic Media 2 years ago, we are addicted to Civic Media, and you are one of the ringleaders. So anyway, I just want to thank you. Have a good day.
Hey, Chuck, man, thank you very much for the call. Tell your wife I said thank you, and it's an honor and a privilege.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The vote 174 to 235 with one present, and the House Republican stopgap funding measure goes down to defeat. The measure needed after billionaire Elon Musk and then President-elect Trump trashed a bipartisan measure, House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries.
The Musk-Johnson proposal is not serious. It's laughable. Extreme MAGA Republicans are driving us to a government shutdown.
The White House accused Republicans of doing the bidding of their billionaire benefactors. Luigi Mangione waived extradition and is back in New York City to face charges in the murder of the United Healthcare CEO. Apparently not happy that his vehicle somehow wound up in a landfill in Lee County, Illinois, authorities say Jared Babbler stole his own car from that landfill. Police found it at Babbler's home in neighboring Ogle County. He's now facing a bunch of charges. This is ABC News.
I'm Dan.